Merry Christmas and peace to you, brothers and sisters. Today, of course, we are celebrating the feast of Christmas, the feast of the Incarnation, when God became a human being. Our Catholic tradition has a long history of reflecting upon the Incarnation, and certainly I cannot do justice to 2,000 years of Catholic theology in a single homily. But I do think it's important for us to remember what it is that we are celebrating. So what is it that we're celebrating? I often hear parents try to remind their children that today is not only about Santa Claus and getting presents, but about the birthday of Jesus. And even as I say that, I can hear echoes of my mom telling that to me and to my brothers and to my brother and sister. And certainly, that is true. We are celebrating the birthday of Jesus, of our Lord. But Christmas has to be more than just the celebration of a birthday. And it certainly has to be more than Santa Claus and the receiving of presents. So in the words of Charlie Brown, I'm left wondering, isn't there anyone who can tell me what Christmas is all about? Well, perhaps the best place to begin our Christmas reflection is to turn to the Church for guidance on this question, what is Christmas all about? And here we can turn to one of the doctors of the Church, St. Anselm, for guidance on what Christmas is all about. St. Anselm tackled this question, why did God become a human being, in his treatise, Curs Deus Homo, Why God Became Man. In addressing the question, Anselm reflects upon salvation history as a whole to try to understand why, in fact, God became a human being. And Anselm begins by recognizing that when God created human beings, he created them with a purpose, with a certain end or purpose in mind, a telos, as the Greeks would say. And that purpose or end that God intended for humanity was union with God, an intimate relationship between God and each individual person. And yet God didn't want to force this relationship on people, so he gave human beings free will. They could freely choose to be in relationship with God or to reject God. And sadly, as we learn from the very beginning of the Bible, from the book of Genesis, human beings often chose to disobey God and to place a barrier between themselves and God. And this, of course, they did through sin. And as a consequence of sin, human beings became subject to pain and death. It's as if humanity were in a giant vat of thick, thick mud from which it couldn't escape. But God didn't wish his creation to perish. He didn't want to see the people who he created for union with him drown in this thick mud. He didn't want them to become permanent slaves to the powers of sin and death. So what did he do? Well, as St. Anselm notes, God, motivated by love, decided to enter into that vat of mud in order to save his creation. Let me say that again. God, motivated by love, decides to enter into creation, which has been marred by sin, in order to save and redeem the very creation that had rejected him. Folks, this is powerful stuff going on here. First, it shows us just how much God loves us. You see, God doesn't need human beings. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. We don't add anything to God. God is complete in himself. But God loves us. He loves us even though we offended him through sin. And he wants what is good for us. He wants us to reach that telos, that end for which he created us. Now compare this for a minute with the pagan gods. These gods don't care about the created order. They don't care about human beings. They certainly don't want a relationship with human beings. No, for the pagan gods, human beings are simply pawns to advance their own cosmic agendas. But for the one true God, What the Incarnation reveals is that God is not threatened by humanity. He's not in competition with his creation. Rather, he loves humanity. In fact, he loves humanity so much that he was willing to enter into creation itself in order to become the light by which humanity would be redeemed. And this, by the way, is the reason why we have lights on our Christmas trees, because God is that light. It's the reason why we have white vestments and white flowers throughout the church today, to remind us of the presence of Christ, who is the pure light, the one true light that is present in our world to lead us out of the darkness of sin and death. This is the message of Christmas. This is the message that the angels announced to the shepherds. It's the same message that Mary pondered in her heart. God so loved the world that he gave the world his only Son. He didn't do this because the world deserved it, and he didn't do this because he needed the world. He did it simply because he loved the world. And so, like the shepherds, we rush to see what God has done. We rush to greet and embrace Christ. We embrace him today, present in the congregation assembled here in this church. We receive him in the word that is proclaimed in the gospel. And in a few moments, we'll receive him into our own bodies in the sacrament of the Eucharist, making him every bit as close to us as he was to Mary when he was in her womb. So to answer Charlie Brown's question, the reason we celebrate this morning is the same reasons that the shepherds were celebrating, because God's love for humankind has been revealed, and our salvation has been made possible. Christmas is not about gifts or even birthday parties. It's about our salvation. It's about celebrating the fact that God has revealed precisely how much he loves his creation by entering that creation to redeem it. God bless.